Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is June 25th, 2021. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by three awesome guests. We're going to start with Eric Thornton, Commodity Specialist of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Eric.
Hello, Mike.
Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle Information Sales and Services. Nicole.
Hello, Michael.
Happy Friday. And last but not least, our brand new Director of Risk Management all the way from Chicago, Sean Bingham. How are you, Sean?
I'm very good. Good morning, all. Good to be here.
Happy Friday to everybody out there, and hope you have great plans for this weekend. And today, everyone, I thought we would talk a little bit about the acreage report that is coming out next week. Talk a little bit about corn, soybeans, and wheat. And we brought Sean on here, everybody out there, for you premium subscribers. You can get premium content. And you know what? We're going to talk about our expectations of acreage. But you know what? What does that mean to manage money? What does that mean to all those speculators out there? And what is going to happen? And Sean's going to talk about that. So premium content subscribers, you just go on IQ, you log on, you go under podcast, and you get that great intel. So that's how you do it. So shall we get started?
We shall.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
All right. Hey, let's start with Eric. Eric, why don't you talk to us a little bit about what's going to happen with wheat next week?
Sure thing. Yeah, I'll go first because I think I just want to get wheat out of the way, since I really think when it comes to acreage, wheat will probably be on the sidelines, as all people will be really focused on the adjustments made to corn and soybeans. So I'll let Nicole obviously talk to those two grains. But as far as wheat's concerned, really the only consideration we see for any sort of changes is the spring wheat plantings. And currently, as of the March 31st planting intentions report, forecasted 11.7 million acres for spring wheat, and seems to be analyst expectations, along with myself, actually, I could see that number coming down. I wouldn't say substantially, but could easily see, you know, a 300,000 to 500,000 reduction in spring wheat acres, and that would bring then the total down to somewhere close to 11.4 to 11.5 million spring wheat acres. So in total, all wheat acres would drop then from about 46.4 million acres down to 46 million total acres. So really not anticipating a drastic change. You know, really the concerning thing, though, is we really can't afford to lose many acres at all for spring wheat, just based on the fact of how poor the crop conditions are currently with the drought in the northern plains. And that's smack dab where all the spring wheat acres are typically planted here in the United States, up in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana. And we are very much in need of some rainfall. They did get a little bit of precipitation this morning, but the long-term forecasts still show that that area is going to remain pretty dry. Thus, the expectations are pretty poor right now for any spring wheat yields that could reach trend line. So right now, the crop's rated only 28%, good to excellent, the lowest since 1988. And again, we just need all of those acres we can possibly get to help keep Minneapolis wheat pricing here, you know, above, or I guess from going further from where it is today in the low to mid $8 per bushel range. So all of that to say, hopefully we don't see too much of a revision lower in spring wheat acres. You know, maybe a couple hundred thousand is priced into the market, but anything more than I'd say half a million acres is going to be pretty concerning for ending stocks and production situations this year. So that's what I'm seeing there on wheat in terms of acreage. And, you know, again, I think it's going to be price reacting based on what happens in corn and soy. So that's what I got for you, Mike.
Great. Great recap. Let's move over to Nicole. Talk to us a little bit about corn and soybeans.
Hi, my name is Corn and I'm a bully. And I'm going to beat up wheat and cotton and sorghum, and I'm snatching acres from everybody.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
All the acres.
Can you beat
are
up John Jones too?
Yeah. Him too. You know, yeah.
Conor McGregor.
I'm assuming that's some fight club. What is it? UFC?
MMA.
MMA, whatever.
UFC.
Yes. Yeah. I'm mm-hmm. the greatest. And I'm beating everybody up for acres.
I don't like you. Yeah. You're arrogant, you corn.
Yeah, I know. Corn's very, very arrogant. So as far as acreage is concerned, I think, you know, for the most part, the market, or at least, you know, analyst perspective on it all is that corn's going to come in around 94 million acres. Now, there were some high projections amongst the analyst surveys that put it almost at 96 million. That would be amazing if we were able to pull that off. It would certainly be additionally bearish to futures, although arguably some of the activity we've seen in futures, at least from a fundamental standpoint, has been the expectation that this acreage number would go up. And I'm about in that camp, 94.5 million acres, somewhere around there. Just hopefully we don't come in underneath that, because I think that may add a little more bullish support. And, you know, related to what Eric was talking about with weather, that dryness in the upper Midwest has been addressed to a degree over this past week. Got some good rain there. But the 8 to 14 day outlook is hot and dry. So if we come in underneath that projection as far as corn acreage is concerned, and we get a lot of attention devoted towards weather, things could, you know, be a little volatile yet for the remainder of the season. So keep your fingers crossed for more corn acreage. My name is Soybeans, and I feel overlooked. And I don't think it's fair that corn gets all the acres, because I have needs too.
Yep.
And, you know, I might get a bit of an increase, but not enough, in that analysts are expecting somewhere around 89 million acres for soy. Ideally, we would like to see that number higher, closer to 90, so we could really start building stocks for 21-22, or at least come in, you know, a bit higher than where we stand for the current marketing year, but it may not happen. And that too will be something to watch in terms of, you know, how the market reacts to that. I mean, soybeans have been under a lot of pressure over the really the last month or so. And, you know, soy is probably going to take some of that acreage from cotton, but when it's all said and done, it just may not be enough. So keep an eye out for that number as well. And hopefully we don't fall beneath that, or we're going to be looking at something for 21-22 that could potentially keep stocks as tight, if not tighter, than where they are right now. And without some break on the balance sheet, perhaps from exports, with, you know, more competition out of South America in 21-22. And, you know, probably unlikely to see that coming from crush, just based off of soybean oil demand, unless we get some changes to biofuel policy that would be impactful to that. We're going to need every drop of acres we can get. So, you know, I love you, Eric, but I don't really care about your spring wheat right now, for the record.
Oh, my gosh. Well,
hey,
are we ready to?
I got a question for you, Nicole, actually.
Oh,
so
here we go.
If you're trying to steal some of my wheat acres, you know, maybe you can have some of this marginal land over here on the side for your corn. But, you know, do you think that we see some of that marginal land get planted, and, you know, maybe that could affect yields in the longer term?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's anecdotal, but in just driving, you know, through Southern Illinois, I did make the observation that there's quite a bit of acreage planted, you know, pretty close to, you know, some of those local rivers and streams, even along the Mississippi, getting closer to the border between Illinois and Missouri. And that acreage is kind of hit or miss, in the sense that some years they don't plant it at all if prices are pretty low. And when prices are strong like this, they'll risk it. So not only will we be keeping an eye on dryness, we'll also be keeping an eye on too much moisture. that could be impactful there. But to your point, Eric, that's why it's going to be challenging to see yields on the higher end of things for corn relative to trend line, and something to keep in mind that, you know, maybe 177, 176, something along those lines will be more in line with what we end up when it's all said and done.
Perfect. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap this one up. I wish everybody a happy and safe and fun weekend. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Eric. And thank you, Sean. And as I always like to say, live with an attitude of gratitude. Enjoy every minute, moment, and just be kind to everybody. Can we? Can we all just get along? Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. That concludes this podcast episode. For expanded commentary and more detailed information, log on to McKinney Favelle's IQ Ingredient Intelligence platform and listen to our Market Insights podcast. If you're not a subscriber, visit McKinney-Favelle.com for more information. And as always, follow us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter.